from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joe, Cody Ingold live at Chiefs training camp, which practice wrapped up a couple minutes ago. Thanks again to Jared Wiley for joining us, Chiefs rookie tight end. I see a lot of excitement around what he can do. Also got to know him a little bit. Turns out big gamer, man. Big gamer, Call of Duty, college football as well.
You got to get his tag, Gold, so you guys should do a little battle.
Should ask for the gamer tag. Should ask for the gamer tag. Our training camp coverage presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. Here in about 25 minutes, Chiefs Red Half Hour, we will hear from Trent McDuffie and Creed Humphrey. Going to hear from Spags in just a second. And then we'll get to Q's, as those were cut short. We didn't get started with the timing everything. One update, we're going to hear from J.J. Piccolo in the noon hour today. The Royals, if you're just joining us, make their first trade since the Hunter Harvey move. From the Rangers in exchange for Walter Pennington. So we'll get back to the Royals in a little while. But J.J. Piccolo did say that John Schreiber is likely to go on the IL. That could happen today. And then Michael Lorenzen would not report, though, until later in the week. So you could see a corresponding move today and then another one in a few days. So just a heads up on that. And also, he said Lorenzen's role is still to be determined.
Ooh, TBD,
which is interesting, being the fact that he's a starter, has been a reliever before, currently a starter with the Rangers. So do they move? Just they just slot him into the bullpen, or they move March to the bullpen? That's what we don't know. And it sounds like,
or do they trade a starter and then?
I think maybe they want to see what happens at the deadline.
What if they traded Marsh?
Well, I think they might want to see what happens by the deadline tomorrow. I don't think this was the last move they make. I think whether it's a corner outfield or another bullpen arm on top of it, the injuries forced their hand. I don't know if we'll ever get the clear answer of, hey, would you have made the Michael Lorenzen trade if the injuries didn't happen?
If Hunter Harvey didn't leave early and Schreiber went to the IL?
Yeah, like what? Yeah. Maybe they had targeted Lorenzen the whole time and this was the move they were always going to make. But was this the move they made because of the injury and then there's still another move? That's what I would love to find out. We'll actually have Piccolo on the show Wednesday post-trade deadline as well. But let's talk some Chiefs football and hear from the Chiefs defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo, who's been trying some different pieces at the cornerback spot this year.
It was the second day of the day we had the short yardage goal line. But I thought the guys stepped it up after that, after we challenged them in meetings. And then today was the 10-10-10, so it was kind of more execution and mental. We got a long way to go. We got a lot of guys banged up, so we're kind of working through that. But with that, I'll just open it up. Fire away.
It seems like there's been every day a different defensive leader. You know, yesterday Drew was kind of chippy and getting into it. George has had a day. Nick has had a day. Is that just something that this defense does? Or?
Well, I mean, I'm hoping that's a thread of all defenses. Certainly hoping it's a thread of ours. I don't think there's anything wrong with being chippy as long as we remember that we're all on the same team and that there's an ultimate some respect there. And I think our guys handled that pretty good. I mean, we didn't get no fisticuffs yet, right? So nobody wants to encourage that. But listen, the game's physical, and the one thing we have conveyed to them is, you know, especially the vets, like, when you add up the number of plays they get in the three preseason games, I don't know, let's say it's 35 to 50, but you might be a DB that never gets to make a tackle. You know, so somewhere you got to work on it, and to me it's out here when you have pads on, and so we do what we call wrap and release, and that kind of maybe leads to some of that, but I think the offensive guys have been good about it.
Does that kind of go with Nick? I know it's there that you are preaching right now, no on and off switches always.
Yeah.
Does that kind of go with that?
Yeah, he knows that picture that I put up. It has the, you know, that the switch has an on that plate and an off. Well, the off's crossed out. And they know when they step on the field. I mean, that's how you have to play. I mean, when you take plays off, we don't get enough of them. We have a lot of walkthroughs. So the reps that we do get in the morning, we got to take advantage of, and they got to be full speed.
What kind of progress have you seen from Felix?
Felix? I think Felix has gotten a little bit better every day. I think there was a couple practices there. He struggled a little bit. I think his confidence is better. The last 2 days, he's been pretty good. Like today, I thought he made. Yesterday and today, I thought he did pretty good. Without watching the tape, I thought he had some good plays.
Your top three linebackers, Bolton, Tranquil, and then Leo, just role-wise, how do you kind of see them this year?
Yeah, I mean, look, those are our base linebackers. Those are the three. Then we try to get them in, mix them in there sometimes, and, you know, other downs and distances, possible third down. I think all three of those guys are have certain skill sets that we would like to use, you know, get them out there. Now, when you got three linebackers in there, you know, somebody's coming out. There's one less DB or there's one less D lineman. So we got to work our way through that. But one of the things we do like being is multiple. And when guys can play different positions, like Leo, he's kind of all over the place. Drew is, you know, and Drew's got to play some Mike linebacker. And, yeah, you get to about next week. I talked about it with the staff the other day. You got to start thinking about guys in dual roles now. Because pretty soon it's not whatever the number is out there, 90. You know, it's not 90 guys anymore, and all of a sudden our number of guys shrinks. So guys are going to have dual responsibilities.
There are a couple of corners who are hurt right now. So Kelvin Joseph's getting a pretty good run. What have you seen from him so far?
Yeah, Kelvin, I don't know if you know, he had a baby, so he was gone for a little bit. We lost him there, so he was a little bit behind. He's playing catch up now. He's getting some work with the ones. He made a couple of plays yesterday, so he earned that. But he's going to be right in the thick of the things with the other corner. I mean, he'd three of them. And he's made enough plays, I think, to warrant working with that first group.
Steve, with Drew, Trenkle's specifically, I know we had a team last year, but him and Nick, sharing the field together, all that frequently. How do you see the dynamic of them both being
on? You're saying sharing the field out here?
Yeah, just Drew and Nick. Probably.
Yeah, the one thing about both those guys is they're both very cerebral, very smart. So I think they feed off each other that way. That goes a long way when I'll bet if you ask the linemen, they tell you that they appreciate the guys that are behind them are really sharp. You know, they're ahead of things. You know, watch out for this motion, watch out for that shift. They change a D lineman here. And when you got two guys can do that instead of just one, I think it makes everything go a little bit like that. And I think the rest of the defense knows that about those two guys and really rely on them. I mean, I'll watch DBs go over and ask Drew and Nick questions about it. It might even be playing DB or something in the defense because they know that those two guys know exactly what's going on.
Seems like Brian Cook has had a pretty good chance.
Yeah, we missed him when he got hurt last year. But the one thing about Brian is he goes 100 miles an hour all the time. He'll tell you he was a little bit rusty getting back into it, but I think it's kind of smoothing out for him right now.
Let's wrap it up. We'll start with Saran and then go
to Matt. Is it important, you know, I know you're trying to replace Legarius and talk about how tough that is and everything, but you want a 1 and a 2 and a 3, or do you see a scenario where maybe your depth comes into play and it could be matchup driven as to who's that 3? Or is it important to have kind of that pecking order of where guys are?
Well, we know who our number one is, right? We all know that. And we're just trying to find guys, and we're going to have to find our next two best players, however that works out. I mean, we know NJ, Nazi's work dealing with his little injury right now. Josh has been out there. Kelvin, there's a lot of guys mixing in there. But somebody's got to surface, and if not, it gets tough. You know, you can have the best pass rush in the world, but these receivers get open quick if you're not able to cover them. So we got some developing to do. We certainly miss LJ, but somebody's got to step up there and take that play. I'm waiting for somebody to, you know, assert themselves and say that, you know, I'm that guy that can do it. We got a little ways to go on that, in my opinion. Yeah.
When you were telling the guys about having one of the best defenses in the league and then having a disappointing year the next year,
yeah.
Did you want to see, are you seeing what you wanted to see, that fire, that chippiness, and what are other things you want to see?
I would say yes on that. I know what you're talking about because I conveyed that to them. I mean, look, we all learn from experiences, and I'm always sharing that with them. And so that was an experience that I went through, and my promise to them was I was going to do everything I could to make sure that didn't happen again. And that kind of began with how we operate in practice. That's the on-off switch, which we've always had. But I just wanted them to realize that just because you can't sit on what you did last year, it doesn't automatically happen. And we got a lot of work to do. Got some. We're talking about players we got to fill in for, and we got a long way to go before we figure that part out.
Trent is so good at just about everything, Steve. Is this a period?
It's a good statement.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a true statement.
Is this a period or a time where you're asking them to be more aggressive in terms of what you mentioned, you know, last time we talked to you about takeaways, trying to get your hands on the ball as much as possible?
Trent in particular, you said? Or? Yeah. He's got a natural feel for all that. And, I mean, look, he's waiting for his first NFL interception, right? I mean, but I told him this before. You know, did he get voted All-Pro by his peers last year? I thought that was the hugest compliment to a DB that did not have an interception, because that tells you all you need to know. So to your point, he does a lot of things really good. And I'll guarantee you he's got his eyeballs on trying to get a couple of picks this year. But the other thing he does a really good job of is he's created some fumbles by having a knack for getting it out. We need all of that from all those guys.
What's the value of these 10-10-10 days for you?
Yeah, more mental than anything. I think we went 3 straight days with pads, and I think Coach Reed would tell you the same thing. It's a good way to get a lot of work done, right, but take a little bit of the physicality off. And it was about time with our guys, and now they'll have the day off, and I think it works out pretty good. Yeah, it's a little agonizing for me sometimes because you can't do anything physically.
All right, so that was Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. A couple things stood out. You know, I think he was pretty honest about the number 2 cornerback spot right now, that they're truly waiting for someone to, like, be like, no, this is my job. It's
just
very early in camp, and they are banged up, right? I mean, Jalen Watson hasn't even practiced yet because he's coming off an injury, and he's somebody that I think if he was fully healthy, we'd be talking about having a legit chance to be the number 2 right out of camp.
Probably.
Then you got Joshua Williams, who's actually been healthy. He's been the most available. And then you have Nazi Johnson, who unfortunately keeps having some injury issues, which is concerning. And then you mentioned Kelvin Joseph, who comes over for the Cowboys. He's actually, you and I pointed this out off air, he isn't a name people really know. He's usually the first guy out here.
Pretty consistently. And usually working out. Stretching.
You know, he's probably more of a long shot to win the 2 job. But right now, when Watson's not available and Josh Williams hasn't had a stranglehold on the number 2 cornerback spot, I think that is worth watching as the camp goes on. We know number 1 corner, you got as good as it gets in Trent McDuffie. But someone's going to be the 2. You lose Snead, and right now it's not clear. It's still not clear.
No, and that's the one, in my opinion, remaining serious battle. I still think they could choose between Wanye and Kingsley, but I think the fact that Kingsley's already getting reps, as many reps at the 1, always made me feel like they were just kind of handicapping it towards the other one. The other one that stood out was really early in the interview. Not exactly a ringing endorsement of Felix Anudike Uzama.
So he's getting better and better each day. You know,
yeah, but I mean, he was like, eh. You know, he's like, he was struggling there for a little bit, and he's like, he's had a good couple of days. He didn't make it sound like he wasn't glowing. Does that make sense?
Oh, well, yeah.
He had a good couple of days. His confidence is better, which means that was a problem before, where when he was struggling, he was unable to kind of like get past that mental hurdle of the confidence. So it's just, to me, I just keep trying to put in reasonable expectations for Felix Anudike Uzama. You and I have talked a lot about this. And for me, this year, it's like a couple of sacks and increased playing time, increased plays where I notice you. I don't need to supercharge his development because he was a project player to start. It appears he will continue to be a project player, but I do want to see improvement. If you're the same, then you've gone nowhere. And now we're really starting to talk about the lack of value they're getting out of that pick versus show me that you're heading in a direction, which it sounds like Spags is giving him the compliment on, and then we can keep stealing, feel like the progress is being made.
And then Spags was asked about Trent McDuffie and acknowledging, I mean, he's one of the best corners in football, does so many things well, and yet he still doesn't have that interception. And that's why he's not listed as number 1. Now, Spags thought it was a compliment that he was an all-pro without having a pick.
It is.
And it's because nobody's throwing his direction. He's locked down. you would think this is the year where he finally
he's
gets
had
his
a couple
first,
near his hands.
He
though,
gets
man.
His first pick. If we have a chance to talk to him during camp, I'd love to get his perspective because he's already one of the best corners in football, and yet the interceptions haven't been there. And I think from afar, if you're not in the city of the player that we're talking about,
you're like,
oh, he doesn't have any picks. Whereas they look at Sauce Gardner, who might I don't know what he had last year, 5 or whatever. You know, that stands out more, but it's because people aren't thrown his direction, and we'll see. And that's where the number 2 cornerback is vital because you need. Not to have a liability on the other side of the field.
And he did point out correctly, by the way, which is missed, I think, consistently sometimes, which is he gets fumbles.
Oh, yeah.
He does force turnovers.
Was that him in the Dolphins game or is that somebody
generally
else?
Generally speaking, it was him in the Tyreek Hill play.
Yeah, he popped
sure.
the ball out. Yeah.
It was him on that one. Interceptions for, now I wanted to look it up, for Sauce Gardner. Huh? He has 2 career.
That's it? What about the other guys at the top that people put
it's
over?
Two, he yeah. has 2 career interceptions. He doesn't have 700. He had 2 his rookie year, and in 16 games last
nothing,
year,
nothing.
0.
There you go.
0.
Even better.
Look, they just, like, the NFL's figured it out. If you're not worth throwing at, then why the hell would I throw at you? I think that that's really what we're talking about here, is that if it's not worth throwing in your direction, I'm just going to ignore you. Patrick Mahomes said in practice he doesn't test Trent McDuffie a lot. It was like probably like 4 days ago. He had his media availability goal, and he was talking about Trent McDuffie. He's like, well, I don't go over there and test him very often. Like, in practice, at a time where Patrick Mahomes has openly admitted he likes to try things he should never try in a game, to find out what he's capable of getting away with. Even he's like, well, I'm not going to get away with throwing at McDuffie, so why waste my time? That's the highest compliment you can hear. And so, yeah, I don't worry about McDuffie at all. I don't care if he finishes his career with 0 picks. He is an outstanding corner right
now. He's one of the players. We know the current core for many, many years. It's Jones, it's Mahomes, it's Kelsey. But if you're looking, if you got a kid and you're trying to buy a jersey for the next player that's going to be here, hopefully, for 5-plus years after this, McDuffie is the number one answer to that, right? Like, I'm not saying you don't have other favorite players that, but if you're talking about longevity and you already have a Jones or a Kelsey or Mahomes jersey, is there anybody else? Like, McDuffie's the answer of the guy that you would buy. If you're just talking about in the sense of buying a jersey, who's going to be
Humphrey,
here?
You know,
going to be a mainstay. I understand. It's a center, and there's plenty of. He has more center jerseys, I feel like, out there than many other center in football,
other than Kelsey.
When Jason Kelsey was around. And I think Creed is good as part of that reason as well. But yeah, I mean, Trent McDuffie's really the only answer. Like, right now, if you're saying, whether you're a jersey or if you collect memorabilia and you already have your Kelsey, Mahomes, and Jones, McDuffie's the next player.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's part of multiple championships, and he is one of the, I think, inarguably 3 best corners in the NFL. I'd make an argument for number 1. I think you can make an argument for number 1, but he is assuredly one of the top corners in the entire league. So, yeah, it stands out on that end, and it's going to continue to stand out. You had mentioned something about the Royals a couple of minutes ago. We'll get back to the trade. The Royals did make a trade for Michael Lorenzen. We'll get you some cuts from what J.J. Piccolo had to say about it, including what you said, which was TBD on the old role for Michael Lorenzen. But this weekend, like, it was a frustrating weekend, right? Because they swept the White Sox, and then they had chances to win each of the last 2 series and were unable to do so, including that game yesterday. And both games, it was like right there and then just let them get out of hand. Pinch hit, grand slam, and then last night they let the innings get away.
But also no hits since the 4th inning.
And and what you said, no hits after the 4th inning. All of those things where it really factors in. But, God, it was just a – I know that this is – maybe I'm saying something that we all know. I don't want to say for sure. Maybe we're just all saying something gold that I know. But it was, as much as I want to be mad at the bullpen, because the bullpen stunk over the weekend, and it seemed like it cost them some games. The truth is, I was more mad at their rotation than anything else. More than the offense, more than the bullpen, because that's how they win. That's how they win. And Reagans couldn't get out without letting up 4 runs yesterday. The start before, Lugo put 3 men on base before he exited the game, ended up giving up 6 earned runs. Like, Singer was great, but, like, I was more mad at the rotation than anything else. Marsh, you know, like, whatever it is,
I hear you.
They're the way to win. And so, like, I want to be mad at the bullpen, but in the end, if the rotation's going to let him down, especially Reagans and Lugo are going to let him down, then they're not going to win a lot of games anyway. Those types of games.
No, I hear you. I mean, look, they're in the spot that they're in because of the rotation. That's why we're talking about a team that is a wild card team right now and in the thick of that race and will be in the thick of the race ultimately because of the rotation. And so I hear you. It wasn't the best of outings, and that's going to be something to watch the back half of the season anyway because of the innings. But the bullpen also leads you to feel like you have to have your starters go much longer, right?
I mean,
the bullpen has been an issue the entire season. It's more magnified.
It's putting more pressure on them. But also that's
more magnified right now because of the fact that you haven't had as great of outings from Reagans or Lugo. And so it's when you have the necessity to go after your bullpen for four innings, if you're the opponent, instead of three innings or whatever, then it's going to be easier with the issues that they have. And look, the two players in the offense, when they're not on, it's a problem. It's pretty clear. Yeah. Bobby is going to be an MVP finalist. Salvador Perez is clutch as it comes. But they were off this weekend, specifically Sunday, but Saturday and Sunday. And so you couple it, perfect storm, you're going to lose games, and it doesn't matter who you're playing. Now they get the White Sox again. Let's hope the trend
Let's
hope the trend continues, because other than the homestand games against the White Sox, it was not a good homestand. This team has been very good at home, but they were terrible.
They were, what, 500 at home for this homestand?
They swept the White Sox, beat the Diamondbacks once, and beat the Cubs once.
So they went 2-4 against those, and 3-0. So yeah, 7 and yeah, they went 5-4.
Yeah.
So winning homestand. Come on now. Look, I understand. Yeah. It's disappointing because you won the first three games of the series, and when one of those
you don't
two
get
series,
to play the White Sox more after this series. Aren't they done basically after this series?
They are done after this series. That stinks. No more White Sox. Man, what a treat.
But it puts a ton of pressure on you now. Like, they don't have to sweep them, but like, they have to win the series against the White Sox.
Yes.
I mean, you just...
I kind of want them to sweep them, but yeah, it's got to be a series win.
Of course.
Got to be a series win. There's no excuse. They are going to go down. The White Sox this year are going to go down statistically as one of the five worst teams in Major League Baseball history. They don't even have 30 wins yet, Gold. They don't even have 30 wins.
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to get worse for them because before the Royals, I mean, they might trade Garrett Crochet here in the next 24 hours.
They're on a 14-game losing streak. Did you know that? The White Sox are on a 14-game losing streak.
Well, better become.
They haven't won in 2.5 weeks.
Oh, even more reason why you got to keep the dog down while it's down, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of make sense. At that point, there's no excuses. I understand it's not going to be the heat of your rotation. Part of me thinks you set it up that way.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me thinks you did the order in a way, like when they came out of the All-Star break and the order was a little bit funky. Part of me thinks they were looking at it and be like, let's get the worst starters in against the White Sox because we sure as hell don't need Reagans and Lugo carving them up. What good does that do us? We'd rather have those starters for somebody else. And so, like, yeah, it was a very frustrating homestand. It was just a good reminder that I know that it's like, but the starting pitchers carry them this entire way. I'm like, I understand. But they're going to have to keep doing that if this team's going to the playoffs.
We'll hear from JJ Piccolo in the noon hour. Up next, we continue broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp inside the Comcast business tent, powering possibilities. And up next, you're going to hear from Creed Humphrey and Trent McDuffie, who we just got done talking about a little bit. That's coming up here on Cody and Gold. We continue broadcasting.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Here from Chiefs Training Camp, presented by Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. You can watch the stream as well on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube.
Wild arm movements.
Keep an eye on us as well. We just refreshed, thanks to our friends over at Hy-Vee, for the ice cold bottle of water.
I can borderline do a water ad right now. Thanks, Hy-Vee.
Nothing tastes
for this crisp, ice cold water.
As cold, crisp, and clean and refreshing as this bottle of water right now. Let me tell you. No, so you can watch us on the stream.
I gotta get the logo out.
Q's gonna give us his camp questions because we didn't get to those here in about 10 minutes or so. But a couple members of the Chiefs did speak after practice, in addition to Jared Wiley, who joined us on set. Trent McDuffie and Creed Humphrey spoke. Let's hear from Trent McDuffie. We were talking a lot about him and the comments from Steve Spagnuolo. Let's hear from Trent McDuffie, who's now going to year three already with the Chiefs.
Honestly, I think it just goes back to the foundation that we built. You know what I mean? I mean, for me personally, being here the past 2 years, this defense has just consistently gotten better and better. And I think we're a group of guys that every day we come out to practice, every day we go into the meeting rooms, we have a purpose. And we're out there to prove that last year wasn't a fluke. You know what I mean? So I feel like the standard has been set. And I think having somebody like Coach Spags to really just lay the foundation from day one and say, this is what we're shooting for, this is what we're doing, I feel like everybody's bought in. And I think that's been the best part about being out here so far.
Was there a point last year where you knew how good you were going to be defensively, where you saw things coming together and said, okay, we're going to be the number two defense or whatever you guys ended up at?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember last year me talking, but last year OTAs, I mean, that was when I first was like, whoa. I mean, coming from rookie year and then going to that spring, I was like, okay, things have been like a little different, you know, like something about the defense was clicking on all cylinders. And I feel like from that OTAs to going into training camp to the first game, I mean, every single game I felt like the defense just got better and better and better, and each player's got more comfortable and confident. So I saw that from a very early on time period that we were going to be really good. I think the confidence has just become even more. I think that's the biggest thing for this defense out here is just we've gone through all the bumps and bruises. You know what I mean? We've worked back last year losing some games and having to fight through playoffs and go to away games and the adversity. So coming back, I think the big thing for us is just welcoming these new guys in, you know, showing them this is the standard. This is how we practice. This is how we do things. The rookies, I mean, even the new guys that we just brought in. But I feel like everybody's really just honed it in and took it on the chin and just rolled with the punches.
Coach Spagnuolo reminded us of your all-pro season. Just yeah. Coming off something like that, what is your personal emphasis on how to get better and grow even from the top of the game?
Yeah, I mean, last year, yeah, all-pro, but I feel like, I mean, I still was learning so much. I mean, last year was really my first time at the nickel position. And then this year, LJ leaving, moving to the outside, I mean, it's a different ball game. You know what I mean? Inside, you know, you got help here and there. You can do things a little differently. But on the outside, on the island, you got to be a technician. And coming into this camp, knowing that I might have to do some more of that. It's been each and every day just working little by little on technique, and just trying to perfect myself out there. So still growing, still learning, and I feel like that's one thing that wakes me up every day.
Darius shut down some of the better receivers in the game. How willing and how vocal have you been about maybe doing that this year if they've been called upon?
I mean, I told Spags, wherever he needs me, like I always said, that's where you can put me. Going against the best of the best, you know, that's why we play this game, to go against the best of the best. So being able to compete no matter who it's against, I'm ready to do that.
That leadership, I mean, that, DB role, how much are you embracing that leadership role?
Yeah. Man, I mean, I'm not somebody, you know, who's going to be that rah-rah, you know, leader, jumping front, yelling at everybody. But definitely just spending a little more time outside of meetings, outside of being on the field, to get to know the guys, you know, to let them know about the little knickknacks that Coach Spags' playbook can have, you know, that I came in as a rookie and being like, yo, slow it down, you know what I mean? It's a big jump coming from college to learn this playbook, to coming out here, Coach Reed's training camps, the LDDs, that you're going to be tired, you're going to have your bumps and bruises. So to settle in, like, we're going to bring you up to speed. So just rely on us, and that's something that I've really been just trying to make myself do each and every day, is just making sure I tell the guys, like, it's going to be all right.
Trent,
Guys don't talk about it a lot, but Chris and Nick both talk about how they worked on their mental, you know, in the offseason. How much have you done with them?
Yeah, that's huge. I mean, I'm someone who's big on just the mental side of everything, you know what I mean? Not just football, but just in life in general, because you never know how somebody's feeling at the end of the day. So going back to California, you know, seeing my family, seeing my little niece and nephew, and just being able to take that time to myself to just understand who I am again and just understand what I want for the rest of this year was huge for me.
You talk about Xavier Worthy and just the trouble he's going to give defenses.
Yeah, I mean, bright kid, you know what I mean? Coming in, humble. Fast as hell, as everybody knows, you know what I mean? Can stretch that field definitely, but going against him, he's one of those dudes that you can just tell is just constantly learning, you know what I mean? You constantly see him talking to the coaches, talking to Pat, where he wants some ball, this and that, and the biggest thing for me is he's been catching the ball, you know what I mean? You love to see a guy's come in here and want to run fast, want to run hard, but at the end of the day, it's catching the ball, and he's been one of those guys that's been consistent with that.
Okay, last three, Sam McKenzie, Matt.
I'm going to ask you about a couple of safeties. First of all, what are you seeing from Jaden?
Yeah, Jaden's doing great. You know what I mean? They got him playing a few different positions, which I know as a safety can be difficult learning this playbook, but he's asking all the right questions. You can tell each and every day he's coming in and taking notes and focusing in and trying to do everything the correct way, which you love to see on the back end because doing what he's doing is pretty difficult. So just seeing his growth from spring to now has been huge. So I'm excited for him. And then, you know, B. Cook, love the energy. I mean, you miss a guy like that out there that finishes every play. You know what I mean? You see him each and every play running down the field 80 yards to go tackle the ball carrier. One of those dudes that can go sideline to sideline. I mean, he's a vet. He came with me, you know, one of my good friends. So I'm excited for him to have a full year healthy.
Trent, what does a corner need to have in order to thrive in this scheme?
It honestly comes back to knowing your responsibility on each and every play. Coach Baggs has a lot of plays in, and we do a lot of different things. You can be a cover three corner, cover two corner, cover four. I mean, we have all the coverages. So knowing where your leverage is and knowing where your help is, and at the end of the day, I mean, Coach Baggs talks about it all the time, is just disrupting the routes. You know what I mean? Getting your hands on the receivers and messing up that time is the best thing the corner can do in this defense.
Last one, Matt.
You mentioned you're not the wrong guy. Who right now is
that guy, that vocal guy in the back?
I mean, it's always been Jay Reed. You know what I mean?
With him being out right now, who's kind of the guy that's on a game like this when it's
86 degrees out there?
It's funny. I don't know if Jay Reed's a rah-rah guy, but I don't know if there's anybody that's going out there screaming, yelling, you know. I feel like our back end is everybody's kind of on a level playing field. You know what I mean? And everybody's able to be comfortable enough to speak up, to say, yo, a free agent can tell me, yo, man, you got to do this right, you got to do this right, and we all listen. So we're one of those guys that each and every day we're just helping each other. And, you know, when things are messing up, you know, I might speak up, B. Cook might speak up. I mean, each and every day somebody is coming in here and making sure that the standard is set. And that's something that you love to see. Yeah.
Thanks, Trent.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, that's Trent McDuffie entering his third season, coming off an All-Pro, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. I thought, you know, he acknowledged something that we saw last year. So many times we would reference how Snead and McDuffie, but specifically Snead, fared against those number one wide receivers. And he, of course, doesn't know ultimately how they're going to utilize them. But, you know, will Spags consistently have McDuffie on the number one receiver?
My guess is that they will use him there more. Listen to him. He said last year was the first time he had played that much nickel, but that's because that's where they needed it. They needed his speed and his ability to limit it, and because they had Legarius Sneed on the outside to lock down all the number ones, it made sense to put him in the nickel. This year, they're going to need someone who can go against those guys. So, look, modern NFL doesn't really allow your goal to just, like, perfectly line up with someone
for
all
sure.
The time. You can't do it 100% of the time, but you can pretty much guarantee 50% of the snaps out of the number one guy to go up against Trent McDuffie, and because he's played the nickel, is used to playing the outside, and because he's your best corner, I hope so.
Well,
I don't know if that's crazy, but, like, yeah, I kind of hope so. I hope that's how they use it.
I would imagine so, not to mention what we were discussing earlier with Spags' comments. I mean, right now they don't have the clear number two. So, you know, that means that you are going to have, I think, progression throughout the year on who do you trust besides McDuffie. Like, I'm even talking about, like, hey, whoever the number two corner is going to be week one. It's going to take time, I still think, for you to have a good feeling of, like, okay, that guy is always good. Nobody's saying the number two corner needs to be anywhere near McDuffie and certainly is not going to be Trent McDuffie.
No.
But they have a really good track record in this organization with Spags as the defensive coordinator, Dave Merritt as the secondary coach, of progressing guys. And I still wonder.
Connor and Cook will be better. Spags talked about Cook a little bit.
And Jalen Watson is just not available right now. And so whether that's later on in the season that he's available and he takes some time, like I think they have the answer somewhere there at number two. I just don't think it's clear yet on who it's going to be. And it might be a point too where that rotates. You know, whoever gets the first crack at it out of the gate may not be the guy that's playing there in week nine. You know, it could rotate. I think they have a lot of depth there, just who is ultimately going to stand out and be the guy that we can say is the number two corner for this team.
Yeah, I'll say this. It is not a ringing endorsement, going back to a little bit what Spag said and what you're talking about the secondary now. It's not a ringing endorsement that Joshua Williams hasn't taken a stranglehold on a job that essentially he's not competing for. Does that make sense? Nazi Johnson has missed some practices. Jalen Watson hasn't been healthy. Joshua Williams had all of last year to just, like, absolutely take that job and hold it forever because Jalen Watson was dealing with a labrum tear, take the number three job. And he couldn't just lock it down. So they're willing to move around. But I also think that's why they play Shamari Connor in the nickel. I think a lot of that, like, number two might be less snaps than we saw at number two last year, where Sneed and McDuffie played 80, 90% of every snap. And what it might end up having to be is McDuffie still plays 100% of the snaps. And instead of 70% for guy two, it's 60, 60, 50, 50, you know, like it's more rotational, kind of like you do the defensive end, and you do it more matchup-based and freshness-based. I don't think that that's out of the question. They have good depth, and the safety depth makes it easier. They can cover their ass on the back
end. Eventually,
and their sack numbers have always been good. All those things.
Yeah, eventually, Justin Reed will be back. He's just not out there, as we know. Not expected to be out here throughout training camp and throughout the preseason.
It's like a little bit of a hitch in his giddy up, you'd say, wouldn't you? I'd say he's still not walking it like full.
Well, clearly, I mean, clearly something, because he's not even going to practice during camp. And it's going to be a bit.
Yeah, I think he's. I think. You should hope he's back by week one of the regular season. I don't think he's doing preseason either, in my opinion. I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. And a guy we're all very familiar with in Kansas City, hashtag Creed is good, Creed Humphrey, Chief starting center, who is in line for an extension. I thought maybe by now there would already have one.
Done.
I guess if it happens right before the season, it still could. Sometimes
they put him up today.
Sometimes that gap.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes the gap between week one and the last preseason is when a deal gets done. But another year for Creed Humphrey, where now that Jason Kelsey's out of the league, I think it's pretty fair to say he's the best center in football. Here's what Creed had to say entering camp and entering this season.
It's great, you know, getting to have him back, you know, doing some group install stuff, some indie stuff. It's been good. And obviously he's a big-time leader for us. He has a ton of experience, and he's a heck of a player. So whenever you get a guy like that back, it's great.
Against the guys who've been replacing him up here, but what do you miss when you don't have a guy like that with his ability to experience in the lineup?
Yeah, well, I mean, experience is the biggest thing. You know, he's done it all in the league. He's played in all the big games and everything, and you know, he sees everything so well, and that's what makes him, you know, one of, if not the best guard in the league. So being able to have him back, it's going to be huge.
What do you do? I know there was some snap issues last week. What do you do in the off season to try to, like, correct that?
Yeah, just, you know, focus on technique and just getting the reps in, doing it, you know, after a workout when you know you're tired, things like that, so you can stay focused on the technique while you're doing it.
Talk about playing in this training camp heat and what you guys are doing to keep yourself healthy and prevent injuries.
Yeah, it's a lot of recovery after practice, a lot of rehydration, things like that. So the training staff does a great job. Strength staff does a great job. Nutrition staff, everybody does a great job with us. And, you know, getting us back to where we need to be for practice the next day.
What have you learned about this offensive line the last couple of days in pads? I know it's not a game, but what have you learned about this unit?
Yeah, you know, we're still growing as one unit right now. You know, we've added new pieces, and we're getting closer each day. So, you know, as long as the guys continue to keep competing, battling, you know, we're going to like the results for this year. So for us right now, it's just taking it day by day and getting better every day. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of stuff thrown at you during training camp, you know, especially as a rookie, and he's done a good job being able to process stuff, you know, study on his own at night, things like that. He's done a good job, and he's picking up on stuff well. So for him, it's just continuing to get these reps, you know, going against really good defensive ends right now, it's going to be really helpful for him. So it's been good, and you know, he's getting better every day, and you can tell he's bought in and working hard to get better every day too.
I suppose some of that applies to the other two offensive linemen, the Norzad and Hanson. What are your impressions of them so far?
They've done great. You know, they're awesome to be around. Same way with them. You know, they're buying in how we need them to, and they've improved every day. And they show some great stuff, and it's been awesome to see so far.
It's only been a few months with Kingsley. Just what are some of the things behind the scenes that you might see him doing to make sure he has as best chance as possible?
Yeah, you know, asking questions in meetings, staying sharp, staying locked in on meetings, things like that. And you can tell he has a instinct for the game, you know, how he needs to play and how he needs to block, things like that. So as long as he keeps continuing to refine his techniques and stuff like he has been, it's going to be really good for him. You know, he's a great athlete. He has the right mindset to be great, so it's going to be good to see.
Greg, I know last year you and Trey both had said your motto is set the tone. You know, how often are you preaching that to those young guys?
Every day. You know, before practice every day we have to let them know. So that's something that we focus on, you know, coming out here every day, setting the tone, making sure our guys are right, making sure we're ready to compete for the day. And so we preach that on them every day.
More business side of the game, you're coming up on that last year. You get involved in negotiations? Do you ask for an extension? Does the team reach out to you about anything like that?
Yeah, right now, for me, I'm focused on training camp. You know, I'm focused on football right now. You know, focused on getting this team to where it needs to be, and focus on getting the line where it needs to be, and getting myself to where I need to be. So that's my focus right now.
What was just the enjoyment or experience about playing guard last week in the Rams? Is that something you really wanted to do, maybe?
Yeah, when they originally asked me to do it, it was fun. I had a fun week, so it was a good time. Obviously, I'm more natural at center, just because I've a ton more reps at center. But it's fun, and you know, being able to have the ability to play wherever you need to, it's good. So you know, I had fun with it, and I'll if they ask me to do it again, I'd do it again. It was fun, but I like saying.
Guys, a couple more here. Creed, how are they feeding you guys at camp? I saw Rasheed's Instagram the other day with you and Trey with the giant steak bones. How are they feeding the big boys here?
Good. You know, they're doing it right. So but yeah, the food's been great. They have a great option every night, so it's been easy to eat. And there's times also we'll sneak away and go get a burger or something. But it's been good though. The food's been great. Nutrition staff has done a great job.
Do you have any reaction to the little Raiders?
No. I'm focused on us right now. I'm focused on this team getting better. So. Yeah.
All right.
Thank y'all for coming out.
Creed Humphrey, he didn't want any part of the Raiders stuff.
I'm focused on us.
He didn't want any part of that. Couple things.
Or his contract
though.
Conversation.
So here's the difference. You guys notice when we've brought up Nick Bolton, and I've tried to make the point of it's not just the typical, oh, I'm focused on football. Do you guys hear the difference? So when Creed Humphrey was asked about the contract, he said what? I'm just focused on football, which is the very standard normal answer because he's letting his agents handle that. Versus the reason why I thought the Nick Bolton stuff stood out a month ago in the interview he gave.
He pretty much called it dead already.
He didn't say, I'm focused on football. He said, I'm not worrying about that. I'm not going to get a contract done until the offseason or worry about it until the offseason. Creed Humphrey didn't say, I don't want a contract until the offseason. He said, I'm focused on football. He gave the standard, what we hear time and time again, and then a contract still happens. Nick Bolton saying, I'll worry about that in the offseason. It's different. It is. It is way different.
Dramatically so. Creed was just avoiding any question that could be considered controversial.
Right.
In the sense that, like, hey, I'm not going to get into that. My agent's probably handling it, which he could say. That's the other standard answer. My agent will take care of that.
I still
the deal
think
gets
Creed's
done.
Getting
it gets
an extension.
Done. I hope I get to. I do too. I'd still be surprised if he doesn't. I'm, you know, I really would. I will say, I stood and I watched 30 solid seconds of Creed snapping the ball. Dead center of the chest every time. He's fixed. Problem solved.
Well, he said he put
problem extra, solved.
He
I don't know what to tell you.
He put in extra work in the offseason rep wise to take care of the snapping issues. And we've been consistent on this thing. It's pretty obvious. Like snapping. You know why I'm not worried about it? If the team gives him an extension, they're not worried about it. They're not giving an extension to a center that can't snap. I guess my guess is it all. They work itself out. If there's no extension, then I would have more concern that they don't think the snapping thing can be fixed.
Yeah, we'd be having a very different conversation.
So, yeah, the snapping thing's not a big deal anymore.
I'm just telling you, I personally watched him. He's been scouted by me. Creed's fine.
Well, there you go.
The problem is solved, everybody. Creed snaps are not an issue anymore.
I don't think it
would. I mean, it was perfection. I mean, he was just firing it into Patrick.
It was Barnes. A late season thing. I want to see when it's a little colder, a little wet outside. That's what I want to see.
You want to see a little inclement weather, make sure that he's okay?
You know,
I do still think, although, again, I'm kind of with you in the sense that I kind of thought he'd have the deal by now. But a lot of other deals are still happening right now. So, like, he's not behind the rest of the contracts. I think if you're talking about preseason game two or three and he doesn't have a deal, we're having a very different conversation. Very different conversation where, like, my optimism on the deal before the year goes down. But they're not going to let everybody walk. Tooney's not under contract after a year or so. Jawan Taylor's got a year after this one, so he's got 2 years left on his deal. Trey's not under contract. They drafted Hunter North. But, like, they're not going to just start fresh offensive line. Why, 2 years from now? Like, I'm convinced Creed is the guy who's getting an extension. Maybe you and I are just way off base, and we're blinded by Creed is good. But I just feel like he's getting a deal done. Everyone consensus thinks he's the best center in the league. Even with his snapping problems, people say that. So, like, it's not just us. That's what, you know, people who know football well say.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get right back to the Royals. Their trade today, Michael Lorenzen, now a member of the Royals. They trade away Walter Pennington to the Rangers. Here's some of what J.J. Piccolo had to say about why they made this move and what role they see Lorenzen having. That's coming up in the noon hour. But we didn't get to it earlier because we had to move some things around. We've got Q producing for us back in the studio since Drew is out of town. And you guys remember when Q was an intern? We had Q's. So let's get to them.
I can't believe it has already been a year, but we're back again.
1 year.
That's right.
You're not an intern. You're an employee.
I'm an employee.
He is an official employee.
Yeah.
A huge salary at this point.
You're one of the first interns ever on this show. First and only. You and JT. Do we have other interns? We just had those two, right?
Just those two.
One of two.
There you go. All right, man.
All right. I've got three different ones I want to get to real quick. We're going to jump around the sports world a little bit. I want to first start off with the Olympics. The weirdest Olympic sport that I have found, and I'm wondering if you guys have heard of this, it's called race walking.
Like mall walking? Like people that speed walk?
So men and women compete in this for 20-kilometer course, which in freedom units is a hair over 12 and a half miles. The rules are very strict.
12 and a half miles?
Yeah, 12 and a half miles. If you have to keep both feet on the ground at once... Okay.
So speed walking.
And your knee and the athlete's advanced leg cannot bend, and the leg must be straightened as the body passes over. So
first time you put on a pair of skinny jeans, like a penguin?
What are we doing?
That's a weird one. I saw the race kayak one really interests me. Where like for some reason, for no reason at all, they just like jet them off of a ramp before they start the course. I can't figure out why that is necessary or why they have to do it. But.
Yeah, I mean, the surfing, just because it's in Tahiti, is really cool to watch.
I thought you were going to tell us about how Jason Tatum somehow, despite the fact he's an NBA champion and scores like 40 points a game, he couldn't get on the court.
Yeah, didn't even play a single minute for Steve Kerr and Team USA.
In this race walking, if you have three infractions, you're disqualified. So there's somebody like watching your legs as you're doing this for 12 and a half miles.
Okay, that sounds awful.
Yeah, the next one that I wanted to go towards is what happened yesterday during the Royals and Cubs game. But I want to focus on Chicago as the all-star third baseman Isaac Paredes was traded to the Rays.
Hugwatch.
I have never seen this in the major leagues before. I've watched Moneyball, and I have read reports that this happens in the minor leagues where guys will get traded in the middle of the game. But I've never actually seen this happen in the majors before.
Yeah, I've seen clips before on SportsCenter, right, mid-game where someone gets traded. It's the first time I think I've seen it in a Royals game, even involving an opponent in a while. But it definitely happens around this time of the year. It's an awkward moment. All of a sudden, you were in the lineup, and then next thing you know, you're pulled from the game, and you're heading elsewhere in Morrell's case or whatever. So
I guess, does the clubby just pack up your locker? Because in Paredes' case, they went in there right away. Like in the Royals trade case, they made a trade today. They said he's not going to report till Wednesday or Thursday. He was not available to pitch to you until that time anyway, so it kind of makes sense. But like, if you're a position player, you might be in the lineup next day. Who packs up all your stuff?
I mean, unless it's your personal stuff, if it's anything Cubs-related, you know, just leave it. You're done. You don't need them anymore. You're out.
That's true. But you got personal stuff in a locker. You know that works.
My cues for this is that the Cubs are sending them a pitching prospect Why would you ever send a pitching prospect to the Rays? If the Rays call me asking for a pitching prospect, I'm saying
something you don't know.
I know exactly. So I'm looking at all the analytics. I'm looking at all of his pitches, and I'm like, what do the Rays see that I don't? Because I'm not sending him.
Rays are willing to trade anybody, man. Randy Arozarena got traded as well. They're transactional. Their fans don't have the same attachment to players in Tampa because their fans don't show up to games, so it's way easier. It just is.
Yep.
It's way easier to move on.
Who cares about their players?
We are out of time. Q's.
We can get another Q in later.
Maybe the 1 o'clock hour, the final Q from Q. Those are Q's. Up next, we'll get to the noon hour, what's trending, and we will talk about the big trade today from the Royals and what it means. You'll hear from J.J. Piccolo next.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.